Welcome back, everybody, to We Are TPM with myself, Kyle Teixeira, sitting next to John Teixeira. We are back this week again to spread the knowledge and give y'all advice or whatever we do on this podcast.
Is that what we do? Disgusting. We spread knowledge and give advice?
Spread the knowledge.
Spread it all over the place.
Giving out whatever we have over here. So the topic today is fear of rent increases. So if you have any questions or you want to discuss this or you want us to conquer that fear for you after we discuss it, give us a call, 817-818-9039. Shoot us an email at
showmethemoney@wertpm.com.
Let's get into it. John, what is fear?
So it's really common when we talk to owners that have been marketing their own properties to hear that, oh, I know that my rent is not where it should be because I've had these tenants for a long time. They're really good people. I don't want to lose tenants. So I've been afraid to raise the rent.
Fear of rent increases, right?
So, yep.
Why? What? So, and
so what are they fearful of? That's a good question, right there.
Because it's rent increases. The general public looks at rent increases as a bad thing, right? Bad landlord. Raising rent. Mm-hmm. Bad landlord. Especially over the last couple of years, right? But that's not really what we're talking about. I mean, tenants fear rent increases. Maybe rightfully so. but we're talking about from the landlord's perspective of pricing your asset, right?
You know, let's remember that 9 out of 10 rental properties are managed by the owner. And this is the kind of way that owners make decisions. We talk about this all the time. They make decisions based in emotion and fear. And this is one of the most common fear-based decisions that I see almost every time I sit down with somebody who doesn't have a property manager. This is almost every time what I see. Even people that know what they're doing, they're in the business. I mean, we interviewed somebody that had 12 houses several weeks ago. Even her rents are not up to market rate for the same reasons and the same fear-based decisions. I have to admit that if I didn't have my entire team helping me rent my properties, mine might be that way also, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's human nature to want to maintain a good relationship and not upset the apple cart, so to speak.
Yeah, because I mean, we've talked about this before from different angles, right? But I always talk about how it's a disservice to both parties, right? Mm-hmm. It is.
Yep.
And this is we're really talking about significant time periods too, like 5-10 years without any increases, and you call it increases over a 5-10 year period. It's more like balancing, right? Like,
well, okay. So tell me, I want you for a moment. You be that owner, okay? Put yourself in their mindset, all right? And let me ask you, Kyle, what is it you're fearful of, or why don't you want to raise the rent?
Well, I'm a terrible person to ask this.
I'm asking you to pretend that you're not you.
Because I simply don't understand.
I know, I get it.
I simply don't understand.
You don't? Okay,
the logic. Right. No, I'm just kidding.
You want to switch it around? You want me to be that guy?
It's I have a great tenant. I don't want to push them out. I don't want to piss them off. I don't want conflict. I don't even want to bring it up. I don't want to have the conversation. I'm afraid of conversation. That's actually, other people think it's all the other things I said. That's probably the biggest one, is just throwing any wrenches in the status quo. And you know, some people aren't built for this, right? You know, they should be hiring a property manager because they bought an investment to make money.
All right, I'm going to drill down a little bit, but what I heard is actually three things out of all those reasons came down to conflict,
fear of loss,
and lack of systems. Okay, so I want to drill down to fear of loss, because wouldn't you admit that that's probably the bigger one?
Yeah.
Why do you fear losing a tenant?
Because then you have turnover periods and you have to actually deal with something.
Okay. All right,
you lose your convenience.
All right, let's drill down to that. So now, okay, so now we have time in, that we need to invest into turning over a property.
Money
from vacancy.
That maybe you didn't prepare for by getting the security deposit. Maybe you aren't prepared by saving your rents.
Maybe you don't have enough money. Yep, okay. So you're fearful of all that. Okay, there's a reason why I'm going down this road.
Oh, I know.
So just drilling down on that one topic, you know, property manager saves, solves your lack of systems and your conflict. That's just bottom line.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to tell you about that. Right. That's just, there's, I can't do anything about that. You can't do anything about that. Go find somebody to manage this for you is really how you solve those two.
Well, I'll stop there for a second because good property manager, because I have seen property managers do this exact same cycle for their clients, right? So just to touch on that real quick.
Well, when I say a good, that's why I clarify good property manager. I, when I say that, it's because I recognize that 8.5 out of 10 of them are not.
Yeah.
So
because the, you know, from a property manager side, if they have all the same concerns, then for them it's a business of convenience, right? Yeah, so they do less work.
So
I'll let you continue.
You fear a certain, so you go 5-10 years without raising rent because you fear losing somebody because you don't want to spend the time and the money it's going to take to turn it over and find a new tenant. So I spoke to somebody yesterday and their example is probably a pretty common example. They have two houses and they're both $400 to $500 under market. Two houses they've been managing for a long time, haven't raised the rent at all. So let's
adjusted
just say
might even be a better word, you know, adjusted the rent to market.
Adjusted the rent, yeah.
It doesn't always go up.
So let's just say when we say market rent, that means that's what the market is getting for rent in homes like yours in your area, okay? And when I say market rent, what I mean is not only are people renting for that amount, but if I were to go on Zillow, I'm not going to find another house cheaper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how I determine market rent. That's a different podcast we've gone into. But now, if I am going to, I forgot where I was going with that, Kyle. Totally lost my train of thought.
I don't even know what you're saying. So.
You can't even help me right now.
No,
huh?
I can't even help
this
you
because
you weren't
this
even
is...
on to the point, you know? So,
I did this yesterday, right in the middle of a meeting, and this is 54-year-old brain, I think, is what it is.
You were talking about how he was $400 under market rent.
Oh yeah, yeah. So he's at that. So between the two houses, they're $1,000. You're basically, this is a business, and you're losing $1,000 a month that you could be making, right? If you were at market rate. So how many months does it take to add up $1,000 a month to make up for your turnover period that you're so fearful of?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so easy to just throw away $1,000 a month, which is basically what you're doing in essence. But I'm fearing this big expense that I have turning it over. Like that doesn't make any sense. You can't put those two things together, right?
And if that fear, the higher that fear is, the likelihood that you're giving a discount to a bad tenant because are you fearful of losing a tenant that you might know is trashing your property?
Yeah, it's probably not taking good care of your property if they can't afford market rent. Yeah.
Well, and that's not even a fair statement. A lot of times, it's not that they can't afford it. They may have stayed anyway. They likely would have because the thing about market rent is it's comparative to other houses that are out there on the market. So
it's time for my analogy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think...
It is. It's a perfect time for my analogy.
Go ahead with your analogy. What
I created this analogy yesterday when I was talking to somebody. Okay, so what if I had a bike store?
This one dates you, by the way. I thought this when you told me this analogy.
Okay, what do you want to sell? What product do you want to sell?
No, continue.
No, let's sell computers. You want to sell computers? Let's sell computers.
Bike store, right?
Let's sell computers. Okay.
Raise your hand if you've walked into a bike store. Okay, continue. Go ahead.
I did it often when I was a kid. Okay. So I sell computers, you sell computers, Andrew over there behind the board, he also sells computers. We all have computer shops where you go buy computers, okay? And we need computers regularly. Absolutely have to have them, whatever. And so we all sell our computers for $1,000. All right. Inflation happens. The computer manufacturers start selling them for more. So naturally what happens is you and Andrew increase the price of your computers. Maybe the first year it's $1,100. The next year it's $1,200. Maybe after that, maybe 5-10 years down the road, it's a $1,500 computer. But I am so fearful of losing my customers, I keep my computers at $1,000. Now, there's a million reasons why that's a dumb decision. I think everybody listening right now can already think of all of them. It seems pretty obvious that that's dumb. That guy's going to lose money. Why would he do that? I mean, think about those customers, your fear of losing customers and going to your shop or Andrew's shop. But when they go to your shop or Andrew's shop, your computers are $1,500. I've already got this customer base. If I also charge $1,500 and don't charge $1,600, $1,700, or $1,800, if I also charge $1,500, my customers are going to stay with me because I've been serving them for years. Right? They're not going to go to your shop or Andrew's shop, and your customers aren't going to go to mine, you know, as long as you're doing it. Now, they are if I keep it at $1,000 a month, right? But I'm going to lose money. I can't stay in business that way.
Because the manufacturer is going to get theirs, and there's a lot of factors, right?
Right. So, but what's the point, really? What's the point in selling that computer for $1,000 and letting and not trying to compete more directly with you and Andrew's shop? What's the point?
Well, because you mess up the market too. Yeah, you can. You're discounting your own service.
No, Elon Musk can. Bill Gates can do it. The rest of us have actual economics in play. You know? So the point is, I think it's pretty obvious when you use an analogy. That's exactly what you're doing with your rent. The point is, there is no reason not to increase your rent to or near market rate. We don't always go all the way up to market rate, do we? We give people willing to sign a one-year lease that have a long tenancy with us. We give them a little bit of a discount off of market rate.
Well, and this isn't to say you shouldn't give discounts.
Right, exactly.
And you can't give appreciation to tenants that stay and consider your savings and turnover cost
appropriate
and that trade-off.
Yes.
It's never looking at it and not just – so
being afraid to increase it at all.
Yeah, and over time – we've talked about how things are indirectly involved, like taxes and insurance, right? Yeah, it doesn't, over time, it will play into, even if it doesn't play into market rents, it plays into your holding costs, right? So if you're going to hold this thing for 5 years and tell the tenant and be fearful to appropriately adjust the rent, well, you are literally allowing, whoever you're renting to take that a benefit of your added costs or the detriment, right? You're holding the detriment that should be passed along. So say over a 5 year period, especially over the last 5 years, your taxes and insurance would have increased
enormously.
And if you're now fearful of rent increases, especially too far into this, well, you know, the appraisal district was not fearful at reappraising your value. The insurance companies are sure not fearful of really anything. No, I'm just kidding. Of increasing your premiums. And you know what, a lender, you want to buy more rentals? When those things go up and they exceed your rent or whatever, they get close to it, they're going to look at your lendability and they're not going to be happy about it. And
it'll ruin your DTI instead of helping your DTI like it should be doing.
Yep, it will ruin it. And there's some level of, even if you're close, a lender looking at that for an investor on an investor loan is on this next one is like, okay, well, if you're going to rent this next one out, if you're renting this one out at 70% of market, then we're going to consider that now you're going to rent the next one out at 70% market. So it's like a double hit on that. You know, that underwriter is going to be like, well, you know, he does it here. Who's to say he's not going to do it there?
Yep.
Which affects your ability to buy more. And then, you know, you bought this investment to make money. So, you know, you bought it for $200. You know, say this tenant does move out after all your fear-based decisions and now they're out, right? And now you're going to try to – now the market value is for $400. John, I'm going to sell it for $300. Sounds smart, right? Does that make any sense?
Nope.
We've been doing it for the last 5 years.
I know.
Undercutting yourself. Why not continue this?
Yep.
Oh, because when it comes time to sell it, now you're on the market and now you want 20% more than it's worth. You want 420 for it. Not that that's 20%.
Yeah, I got you.
But yeah,
I got you.
But this is what they do. This is my typical
mindset. You're absolutely right, and that's what we're trying to. That's what we're trying to address right now, because this is one of the most common fear-based decisions that we see when we take over properties or we talk to homeowners.
Well, and let's talk about discounts for a second. So, like, say market rate on the house is $1,500, and you've had this tenant for 3 years. They're great tenants. They keep good care of the property. Maybe they do some of their own repairs and actually save you money. Then, okay, cool. Those are good reasons to give them a little discount off market. So say they're at $1,350, rents are at $1,500 for a very comparable property. Even if you increase it to $1,375 or $1,400 or whatever, you know, that's a pretty big discount.
I would do $1,425 in that example that you just gave me.
Yeah.
That's just what we would do to sign a 1 year lease. You want to go month to month, and you're paying full market value.
Yeah, and even
if I'm going to give you the ability to give me 30 days notice and leave, then you're paying full market value no matter what.
Yeah, because it's all the risk goes on the landlord at that point. You know, you can walk on a 30-day basis. You could walk in the worst month of the year to rent property, or you know, if your lease ends in June, I'm going to get higher market rents than if you just decide to walk mid-October. Right. In most cases. And then now I'm stuck with trying to find a tenant in October and likely signing a 1 year lease. And then this carries on for years.
And it's also like divorcing somebody, kind of going month to month, because now you know that there's no loyalty and they're one step out. They got one foot out the door.
Yeah.
They just don't know exactly when it is. So you already know that she's broken up with you. She just hasn't left yet. Huh. That's funny, isn't it? And so you're just waiting to see when she leaves.
Yeah, you threw me off on the whole conversation now. But
but we have knowledge of this exact situation happening.
This is true.
Yep.
I had like three things to say
that were important.
Yeah,
and I threw you all off.
Done that, so
sorry.
It's not so significant. So like, when you're at 1,400, or when market rents say 1,500, and you're at 1,000. Your fear is ridiculous. And then I'm just going to throw that word out there. It's ridiculous because when they go look on the market, they are not going to find another $1,000 house. So they are staying in that house solely because you are giving them an astronomical discount for little to no reason.
That's a great point. Like, the first thing people do when they get our rent increase is they go to Zillow or some real estate portal that they like to find out what things are going for. That's the first thing people do. Everybody gets upset. You would get upset too, right? Your landlord sent you a rent increase. Your initial thought would be, ugh. Yet, no matter how much it is, freaking greedy landlord, whatever, $100, whatever it is. And then you're going to go and you're going, oh, crap. Yeah, I'm not moving. I can't find anything less than that. Right? That's the point. Using the computer analogy, that's why you don't want to sell the computers more than $1,500, because you and Andrew are selling them for $1,500. So that would be dumb. That's not what we're saying. We're saying you should be up to or close to $1,500 so you can make money and have a thriving business and buy more properties and not have to worry so much about turnovers, because you're stacking an extra $1,000 a month.
Yeah. And it makes the investment make sense, because over time your investment's not going to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Your cash flows aren't going to make sense compared to, you know. And then this is another thing that this fear gets based on, is there's usually a milestone that makes this cost overcome fear. We see that a lot. So AC breaks, $6,000. Landlord's now got to pay. Tenant's pissed off. They need $6,000. He's like, okay, well, I might need to increase your rent now appropriately because I had to pay for this AC system. And now he's proposing it going up from 1,000 to 500. Well, you just did a disservice to the tenant, because if you let him live there for 5 years, you should have been adjusting appropriately over time and letting their family get used to it. Because now also, you know, they go look on the market and realize they can't find anything. You know, maybe they appreciate your 5 years discounting, but it's a slap in the face of what real market values are.
Yep.
Right. It's kind of like if you're buying prescriptions and you lose good insurance and then you get another insurance. You're like, this is what this actually costs. So I don't know. There's a million examples out there of why markets exist. You know, if I bought 50 shares of Apple at $50 and 10 years later, it's worth 100. Would I sell it to you for 75? What would I be? I'd be an idiot, right? Everybody call into this
nobody
podcast
would.
Right now. What other
nobody
would anybody
would.
Call me a genius for that?
No,
no.
Not one person would do that. Nobody would do it.
No.
Nope.
What if it's too hard for me to go sell it for $100?
But it's extremely easy, just like it is easy to sell a house.
No, the stock market is very illiquid. Hard to sell things. I'm just kidding.
That sounds like a different podcast, is what that sounds like.
Well, there is, but those aren't fear-based decisions. If your discount decision is based on demand, you know, if you have it in an area that you don't think you could ever rent again, then maybe that's a consideration. But then the market rates should be adjusted.
No, you know
what
the difference between those two analogies are? Is one word, certainty.
Yeah.
You have certainty that you could push a button and sell that thing. You know what's going to happen. When you sell that stock, people do not have certainty of what's going to happen when they get their house back, whether they're going to be able to re-rent it, sell it, how much repairs they're going to have to do, how much it's going to cost. There's a whole bunch of unknowns that they're uncertain about.
Well,
are you and I uncertain about that?
No,
not typically.
Well, in that example, there's, so the same example, tenants got this discount for 5 years, AC goes out. Now they're like, I need to raise you up to market rent and I'm going to 1500. Well, now, after having a great tenant for 5 years that may have stayed for 10 had you adjusted appropriately year over year, now you're likely going to lose that tenant because you just went from 1,000 to 1,500, you know, and they probably don't have an AC unit at the same time. And now, on the tenant side of things, they got to go find a $1,000 a month rental. So now they're downsizing massively. So, which, you know, in our market, good luck.
Yeah, we're talking about $1,000 rentals.
I know these numbers are easy, but they don't exist anymore.
They exist.
They do exist.
I think.
Or they're moving to a different area, and there's significant life changes. You know, all these things, right? Maybe because you didn't increase the rent, they bought more expensive cars than they could afford. You know, all those things aren't your fault, but.
No, they are.
You're making their problem your problem. Now your problem is their problem when the AC hits, all those things. But if you're at market's 1500, you're at 1500, even if you're at 1450, you're not going to tell them that AC went out, now you're going up to 1800 because they're not going to pay the 1800, right? Because they can go find the same house for 1500.
That's right.
So that would be a fear-based decision. Don't increase it over market. That's not
dumb.
Just a fear-based, that's a fear of intelligence, fear of statistics there.
That would be dumb.
It'd be dumb.
Yep.
We're throwing out some shade on words.
We are,
here.
Aren't we? Ridiculous, yeah. Dumb.
But these are just examples. You know, these are just examples.
We have opinions. We have opinions.
So what do we do about this? Like so continuing this example, you want to get this right. You realize you're wrong. Now you got to get it to a property manager, right? You get it to a good property manager. I'm saying that's next step, right? So now what does the property manager do about this?
Well, I don't know what every property manager does. I can only tell you what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Because this is definitely a massive.
So you give me a house, it has a tenant in it, you've been doing this, it's at 500, it's supposed to be 1,000, we'll stick with that example. When their lease is up at renewal time, 45 to 50 days before it's about to renew, I will send them a rent increase, just like I do all my tenants, not a rent increase, I'm sorry, a renewal notice that says that you can stay in the home month to month for the current market value of $1,000 a month. Or you could sign another one-year lease for $750. And that gradually, the reason why we do that is because that $500 jump is a lot. I didn't create that gap. You, the owner, created that gap. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to try to fix it gradually. $250 is still a big jump, but it's a lot less than $500. So we cut that in the middle. Now we're only $250 apart. The next year when we do the renewal, maybe we'll be $300 apart, and we cut that in half, you know, right? So now we're $150 apart, And maybe that increases to 200. You see how we're gradually getting them back to market rate without just slamming them, you know, all the way to 1,000. Now, if they want to put one foot out the door and break up with us, then they're going to go.
Which is amazing because they commonly do. They commonly take the month-to-month option, right? Because at the end of the day, they were riding your gravy train until it ended. You know, you were giving them $500 a month. You know, what, do they want to be stupid and leave when you're giving them that massive of a discount? So it,
well, different podcasts, different subject, but a lot of times owners don't even know that they can give those two options or don't understand why you would give those two options, right?
Yeah.
There's a whole philosophy behind why we do that. And,
well, I've seen other options. We've even done other options where, you know, especially if they like absolutely love this tenant and landlord says they take great care of the property. Okay, we'll put it all out there what we're going to do. We'll sign a 2-year lease with a rent increase in the first year and just have this all out there, right? You know, there's multiple options, but the point is you have to get it right. You know, you said earlier 9 out of 10 rentals are managed by a landlord. I'd argue this isn't a statistic that I've checked, but I'd argue 6 to 7 of those landlords are under market.
I would argue 90% of those landlords are under market. I have rarely, I can only think of one time, Kyle, where I've taken somebody's portfolio, whether it was one house or 10 houses or 50 houses, and found that that the entire portfolio was at or near market value. It happened once. I remember it. That's the only time I've ever seen
well,
it happen.
Well, and I've seen it a few times but it's because they did the systems. They did it once a year. They'd ask a realtor what's market rent. They'd come back and do the system like a property manager would do. So there are people who can do that right.
Yeah.
But when you don't do it at all, it's not right. And, you know, the other part of that is, how many did you say? You say 7 to 8 of those 9 are under market?
Okay. Sure.
Well, I'll tell you where 99 out of 100 of your bad tenants who they're targeting and looking for. They're targeting and looking for
owners,
those
for sale by or
under market landlords.
Yep.
So you're going to get less money than you should, and you're going to get more problems than you should. You know, this is that's a little generalized, but that is what happens because.
Yeah, I get this all the time. Do you own this property? No, I manage it. Okay, bye.
Well, what they're really asking is, are you going to check my credit? Are you going to check my employment? Are you going to make sure I can afford it? Are you going to do all these things?
No, what they're really asking is, can I emotionally snow you into taking my $850 cash and letting me move in tomorrow without checking all my stuff and give me, you know, allow me to talk you into a great deal because I know how to prey on your fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're asking when they say that. So I gladly say no and goodbye.
You know, it's a new one that's been very common over the last couple of years. They snow you into giving you $850 and renting it for $850. And then that's not even the person renting it. They're renting it for market rate to somebody else who has bad credit or whatever, who can't get through a normal screening process. But now, instead of you making that extra $200, this person that you just randomly didn't screen and rented it to is making it off another person. And they have no risk. If that tenant doesn't pay, then they don't pay. And, you know, it's your problem to deal with now.
Yep.
So, 'cause that happens every day.
Yep.
And we're not just making this up. We literally hear examples of this every day.
Yep. So the moral of the story is buy your computer from my shop, not Kyle's shop, not Andrew's shop, because I'm dumb.
Yeah, pretty much. You can get
Apple. And I have the same computers they do. And I'm willing to work for free.
And if you want to sell me Apple shares for $75, I'm game. Because I think they're like 167 or something like that right now.
You know what? I'll take 100. I'll pay you 100. If he's going to pay you 75, I'll pay you 100.
That's still too low. You know.
I'm still getting a deal.
It's still
but I'm
going to
get
market.
The shares, not you.
So,
All right. Well, I think we killed this subject.
Yeah,
we can keep at it if you like.
Definitely renewal processes and market rents. So what did I call this again? Fear of rent increases? Don't be fearful. But
don't be fearful.
It really comes down to a lot of things we talked about in the past. Leave the emotion out of it. You know, it's really the only name of the game. Because when you do put too much emotion into it, now you have emotional problems in your investments, right? I don't ever get emotional about my Apple stock. So, yeah.
Do you have a lot of Apple stock?
I don't have any. That's why I don't get emotional about it.
Goodness gracious.
It was my example. So. I had some this morning, but no longer have it. So.
All right.
All right. So if you guys got any questions, you want to conquer this fear or get rid of it, remove the emotions from the equation, which is the name of the game, give us a call, 817-818-9039. Shoot us an email, showmethemoney@wertpm.com. If you want to get John directly, who's been annoyed that this number, he thinks this number wasn't getting to him recently. So 817-637-4658. Look, just I got you. See? Or just give us a call, 817-818-9039, or shoot us an email at showmethemoney@wertpm.com, and we are out. Let's go, Rangers.